The last shiur that we had, we learned Torah Memches in Likutei Moran Tanina, chapter 48. And this Torah, in many ways, is considered to be one of the most outstanding chapters in the entire Sefer Likutei Moran, and one of the most outstanding shiurim that Rabbeinu Zal gave during his lifetime on the subject of Hischaskus, on the subject of a person being able to strengthen themselves, to hang in there, when it comes to serving Hashem. And on this chapter, there's about 10-15 references in Likutei Halachos in different places where Rabbi Nosson Zal touches on points that Rabbeinu Zal made mention of in this chapter, and Rabbi Nosson Zal expounds and clarifies and sheds some light and some clarification on some of the points that Rabbeinu Zal made. We're not going to take all of them, but we're going to take some of them. And I think that this should be given tremendous attention, because I just recently had reiterated to me, in speaking to one of the Zakenim of Chassidei Breslov from Yerushalayim, who was visiting here in America, and I was asking him about learning Likutei Moran, learning Likutei Halachos, and he reiterated something that I had heard many, many times from different people in Breslov, and that's this underlying fact that the Likutei Moran itself, we acknowledge that it's very, very hard for us to have a handle on. Most of the concepts that Rabbeinu Zal discusses are intangible. Many of them, although it's practical advice in Avodas Hashem, but yet you can't really get a solid handle on it until you learn the Likutei Halachos on that chapter in Likutei Moran. Because Rabbi Nosson Zal was much, much more specific in nailing down each concept that Rabbeinu Zal mentions in Likutei Moran, that the person should not walk away without knowing 1,000,000,000% exactly what we're talking about and how and when and what and where this item applies to each and every person. And we'll have some examples in the things we're going to mention tonight. One of the famous statements that Rabbeinu Zal made in that chapter in Likutei Moran, which was accepted by the world as an expression and a song that's actually sung and known worldwide, was the statement which Rabbeinu Zal made, Kol ha'olam kuloi gesher tzar ma'od, that the entire world is one narrow bridge, v'haklal v'ho'ikar shelo yispached klal. And the main thing for a person to bear in mind is not to be afraid. In other words, although you're told that you're going over a bridge, and a bridge, when a person is crossing a bridge, there's always an innate fear, a consciousness of the fact that you're in a position of sakona, that if this bridge doesn't have a good enough foundation, and if you're not walking carefully enough and in the middle, a person could chas v'shalom fall and get hurt and get destroyed. Rabbeinu Zal warned, the main thing that a person has to have is tremendous self-confidence in being able to walk solidly, strong, and be able to make it across this bridge. And yet, Rabbeinu Zal didn't define clearly what is the bridge, what does the bridge represent, and what is it? What are we talking about that you have to, that cross over this bridge, that represents making it in this world? Rabbi Nosson Zal, in Likutei Halachos, in the Chelek, the first Chelek of Orachaim has three volumes of Likutei Halachos. In the first volume of the three, in Hilchas Tefillin, Halacha Hey, Ois Mem Aleph, paragraph 41, Rabbi Nosson Zal there makes reference to this point. Now, there's no way in the world we can explain this whole Halacha now. It would take us a few weeks. But we're going to cover a piece of one paragraph that pertains to this Torah. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ki ikar hagesher lavor olov bozeh ha'olam, the main bridge that a person has to use to cross over this world, to make it across this world, is emes, is truth. Ki iso bedivrei Rabbeinu Zal, because it's brought in Rabbeinu Zal's words in Likutei Moran, Tanina, Torah Memches, that Rabbeinu Zal, that we just learned, Sheho'odom tzorich lavor bozeh ha'olam al gesher tzar, that a person has to pass over a very narrow bridge in this world, v'ho'ikr shelo yispached klal, and the main thing is not to be afraid, to be very strong, V'lizkois lozeh lavor al hagesher hatzar shel zeh ha'olam. Rav Nosson Zal says, in order for a person to be zeichet, to succeed in making it across this bridge, which is being referred to as this world, hu al yedei b'chinas gesher shel tefillin. It's through the gesher, the bridge of the tefillin. We know that in the tefillin shel roish, there is a piece through which the strap goes through, and that piece is called the titura, the ma'abarta, the titura. The titura is actually the piece that surrounds the box of the tefillin. In other words, you have the four batim, you have the four compartments into which the parshiyos are made. Then there's a piece of leather, a thick piece of leather that surrounds that, that extends a little bit out. And then besides that, in the Shel Roish, there's an additional piece through which the straps are passed through. Those two additional pieces, one is known as the Ma'abarta, through which something passes through. The other one is known as the Titura, the bridge. Titura in Aramaic means a bridge. Rav Nosson Zal says, Shehem Bechinas Emes. They represent truth. As Rav Nosson Zal had explained earlier in this Halacha Likutei Halachos, that the tefillin, and specifically the tefillin Shel Roish, represent truth. It's a concept of Yaakov Avinu. And we'll see, he'll make reference to it again. She'im emes yecholim laver kol ha'olam. With truth, a person could make it through everything they have to get through in this world. Ki ikur hu ha'emes. The main thing is truth. Honesty. Ki chaysamoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes, the seal of Hashem is truth. Uboi nechtemu shamayim v'oretz, and kaviyochel Hashem inscribed heaven and earth with His seal, with this emes. Kamay shekosuv, as the pasuk says, Bereishis bora elikim es hashamayim v'soretz. In the beginning, Hashem created heaven and earth. Those words, in the beginning, Hashem created, the last letters of Bereishis Bara Elokim make up the word Emes. And the Gemara says, because that's the seal of Hashem. What did He seal with it? He sealed Shamayim and Eretz. He placed this seal, this symbol of Emes, over Shamayim and Eretz, showing that this is the main thing that can save a person in this world. It's on this concept, this is the foundation of the whole world, and this is what the world exists on. And all the confusion and all the obstacles, the doubts that a person experiences when it comes to serving Hashem, shehoikar humanias hamayach, the worst type of which is the doubts that a person has in their own mind, the lack of being sure of knowing exactly what to do and what's going on. Does Hashem like me? Does Hashem not like me? Am I doing the right thing? Am I not doing the right thing? Hoikar hoetzo laver alehem hu emes. The main and most important advice that we can give a person in being able to make it through all of this is honesty. Shehu meire derech lehaodom laver el hakoel. Honesty, emes, actually shines a path. It's like a flashlight, a beam of light that goes before the person and leads him, shows him the right path. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, shlach urcho va'amitcho, Hema Yanchuni. David HaMelech asks Hashem, Hashem, please send me your light and your truth. They will direct me. They will guide me. They'll show me the proper direction. So we see that Emes is synonymous with Ur, Shlach Urcha Va'amitcha, and Hema Yanchuni. That's what'll lead the person, that's what'll show the person what the right decision is. If a person is really, really, completely honest about himself and about Hashem and about people around him and about everything, that alone will guide a person exactly what to do, what not to do. U'kamei shekosuv, as the pasuk says in another chapter in Tehillim, Oholcho ba'amitcho. Dovra Melech says, please allow me, Hashem, allow me to live in your tent, in your truth. Honesty is the place of Hashem. Ki ho'emes hu hagesher dikdusha. Truth is this holy bridge. Truth is this holy bridge that a person uses to get across this dangerous, perilous river on bottom, the waters that are very tumultuous and that are flowing very fast and dangerous under the person. Bebechinas ma shenemar b'Yaakov, as is written by Yaakov Avinu, shehu bechinas emes, we know that Yaakov Avinu is the symbol of truth. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says, titein emes liYaakov, that Yaakov Avinu represents emes, truth. Sheoso atzmoi kegesher. The pasuk says about Yaakov Avinu that when it came to crossing Ma'avar Yaboik, he made himself a bridge for his family to cross over, to walk over him, to be able to get across to the other side. Why does the Torah tell us this? That Yaakov Avinu made himself a gesher. Zeh remez. This is a hint to Jews. Sheho emes hu hagesher hanal. That what Yaakov Avinu represents, Yaakov Avinu is the symbol of emes, titein emes liYaakov, that's the bridge. Ki Yaakov oso atzmoi kegesher, lahatzel es kol ha-sheloi mipachad halaylo, umipchodoi shel esov, sheholach likrosoi. The Torah tells us that Yaakov Avinu made himself like a bridge to allow his family to make it through the night, to get them out of the fear, out of the danger of darkness and night, and also to save them from the threat of Esav Harosha, who was coming at them at that time with his 400 men. Shekol zeh hu bechinas klolios hapchodim v'hayisurim v'hamenios v'chulu. All of this represents the sum total of all the different fears and phobias and suffering and obstacles sheyesh la'odam mikol hasainim v'hama'akvim shemislabish bohema yetzahora, that each and every person has thrown at them, in which prevent the person, which block the person from coming close to Hashem, whereby the Satan cloaks himself in these obstacles and uses them to block the person from coming close to Hashem. Shehu bechinas Esav kiyadua. The Satan is represented by Esav Harasha. Va'alkein Yaakov Simon Levonov. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu is a symbol for his children. She'i efshar lavor al kol ha'pchodim ho'ele. To tell us that there's no way a person can make it through all of these fears and anxieties and phobias, ki im al yedei emes, unless the person is really, really super honest. Shehu bechinas Yaakov, which is the concept of Yaakov Avinu, she'oso atzmoi kegesher, who made himself like this bridge, shehu bechinas titura shel tefillin. This is the bridge of the tefillin. Shebekoyach hazeh yochoy lavor bozeh ho'ilam kol yemei chayav al hagesher atzar shetzrichen lavor alav b'li pachad klal. With this, a person could make it across this narrow bridge that Rabbeinu Zal says a person has to cross in life, in this world. With this, with emes, a person could make it across. V'zeh b'chinas kriyas yamsuf. This is the concept of the splitting of the Red Sea. Shehofach yam liyabosha, that the ocean converted itself into dry land, ad shekofu sahimois belev yom, until the water moved way, way down to the depths of the ocean to make room, to make place, dry area for the Jews to be able to walk through. V'osu lehem Hashem yisporach b'nes niflo, and Hashem made a wondrous miracle, b'chinas gesher, a concept of a bridge. What is a bridge used? To cross over water. Hashem made this dry land was like a bridge. It was this represented the property of something that allowed them to pass over the water. Lavra ahayom b'shom, to cross over the ocean in peace. And the whole miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf came through Yaakov Avinu, who represents truth. How do we know this? As we say in the Hallel, Ma lecho hayom ki sonus, hayardein tisoiv la'ocher, hehorim tirkedu cheilim, gevois kifnei tzoin, mi lifnei odoin chuli oretz, mi lifnei eloka Yaakov. That why did the ocean run away? Why did the mountains dance? Why did this? Milifnei Eloka Yaakov. Because of the Hashem of Yaakov Avinu. What do you mean the Hashem of Yaakov? Why doesn't it say Milifnei Elokim? Why does it reference there specifically Milifnei Eloka Yaakov? Shehu Bechinas Emes. Because Yaakov Avinu is the symbol of Emes. Ki Emes hu Bechinas Gesher Sha'al Yodo Yecholen Lavor Afilu Biemtza Hayam. Emes, truth, represents a bridge that can even give a person the power to cross over safely in the middle of the ocean. An ocean is something that's so difficult to get across. How many people died trying to get across the ocean? We have a special bracha, Birkas HaGomel, that a person says, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam HaGomel L'Chayov M'Tovos, if he makes it across the ocean alive, because the ocean represents a super place of sakona, where it's very easy for a person to get lost in the ocean. What's the bridge that allows the person to cross over to make it across? Emes. Bibachinas, as the Pasuk says in Yeshaya Hanavi, Koi Omar. This is the word Koi Omar Ber Echo Yaakov. This is what your Creator says to you, Yaakov Avinu. Al Tira, don't be afraid. Ki Savor Bamayim Itcho Oni. When you will want to cross over the water, I will be with you, Hashem says. Rav Nosson Zal says, Boirecho Yaakov Daiko. Why does the Pasuk make a point of saying the creator of Yaakov Avinu? Why is it speaking to Yaakov Avinu specifically? Shehu Bechinas Emes. He represents Emes. Shayideze Al Tira Ki Savor Bamayim. It's this one item, which if a person really has it, he doesn't have to be afraid at all. Even if he's crossing over the most dangerous waters, he'll be able to see his way across. Ki al yedei ho'emes oivrim al hakol v'nitzaylin b'sholem kanal. Because through honesty and truth, a person can make it through anything and be saved from anything they have to be saved. V'zeh b'chinas, Rav Nosson Zal says, this explains another question. This is why the Torah tells us, Shebiyoyim hashlishi lebriya, that on the third day of creation, Omar Hashem Yisborach, Hashem said, Yikovu hamayim mitachas hashamayim el mokoyim echot, v'seiroe hayabosha. Originally, when Hashem created the world was all water, floor to ceiling, wall to wall water. At which point in time did Hashem issue the command that the water should gather together in specific locations, the oceans, and should make available dry land on which civilization could exist? That took place on the third day of creation. Why bedafka on the third day? Ki yoyim hashlishi hu bechinas Yaakov kiyodua. Because we know that the 7 days of the week correspond to the 7 shepherds of Bnei Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu, Avram Yitzchok Yaakov, Moshe Aaron Yosef David. Yaakov Avinu represents the third day of the week. Shehu bechinas gesher, she'al yodoy oivrim besoich kol hamayim hashoitvim. That he represents the bridge through which a person could cross the most dangerous, turbulent waters, the Nitzel Mikulon, and be rescued and saved from all of it. Sheze Bechinas Hayabosho Shenase Beshas Habriya Be'emtza Hamayim. This represents this concept of a splitting of the waters that took place when Hashem first created the world. In order to make way for dry land, the Pacific and the Atlantic had to split. There had to be, originally there was all water. Then there was a split in the water, and in between there became dry land where people, all the continents that we have where people live on, all is in between this water that was partitioned off at that time. Shehu bechinas hagesher bekloliyus ha'olam shenase bayoyim hashlishi daika. This represents a bridge for the whole world that was made on which day? On the third day of creation. Shehu bechinas Yaakov, bechinas emes. That third day represents Yaakov Avinu. It represents truth. Ki ikar hagesher lavar olav kol ha'olam hu emes kanal. Because the main bridge which a person could use to cross over the world with is truth. Sheze bechinas titura shel tefillin. This represents the bridge of the tefillin. Okay, so this is Rav Nosson Zal's explanation. He's zeroing in on this term that Rav Nosson used, in this term, the Kutimran, this term Gesher Tzar, and he's giving a definition to it. And the fact that Rav Nosson Zal is presenting it in such a way implies, obviously, that this is a situation that everybody is going to confront. Everybody's going to confront Bilbulim and Menias and Ikuvim. And the one thing that could possibly save a person, that could ensure that this person is not going to make a mistake and not going to get lost, etc., is a person has to be able to be super, super, super honest. Just that word honest, emes. And this itself is obviously something that's very, very difficult. How does a person judge how honest he's being, how real he is versus how fake he is. First, and how is a person in a position to be able to judge in terms of other people? He's looking to pick a Rebbe or a guide or a friend. How does he judge which person is honest, which person is fake? Which person is 98% honest, 2% fake? Which person is 98% fake, 2% honest? And this is something that it in itself requires, obviously, tremendous tefillah and tremendous siyata d'shmaya. But Rav Nosson Zal, he's making a point here that it's very, very easy to drown in this world, to get lost and get messed up in an incredible way, if a person is lacking whatsoever in MS. And according to what degree a person's lacking in MS, that determines, chas v'shalom rachmona litzlon, to what degree the person doesn't get onto this bridge or make it across the bridge. The person is simply in the water and floating, and chas v'shalom either going nowhere, or worse, chas v'shalom getting drowned. This is the potential according to what kind of a chasaron of emes there is. And this exists on every level. This pertains to everything a person is doing or thinking in terms of judging oneself, in terms of judging other people, to be able to be super, super, super honest. This concept of emes. Any questions, Ken?
Didn't we learn a lot of times that emes alone is not good? Like, you know, Emes told Hashem not to create the world. Hashem
right.
Threw away the Emes.
Right.
Like, Emes tell a person, this person is not nice to me, I won't be nice to him.
The answer is that in this halacha, Nikutei Halachos, we quoted part of one paragraph. Some of the other paragraphs here discuss Emunah, Emes v'Emunah, showing how you need both truth and faith. I just selected this piece now that gives a definition to the word Gesher. That Gesher means Emes. Period. There are other places here where Rav Nosson Zal talks a lot about Emunah also. But even Emunah, there's a pasuk that says, Emes ve'emunah chayk v'lo yavor. And this is something that Rabbeinu Zal talks about. That faith, do we call when people believe in a tree, a season where they're praying to the trees, they're kissing the trees, or Rachmana Litzlan, these people who bow to statues, or monkeys, or cows in India, or whatever these monkeys bow to. Is that defined as Emunah or not? The answer is no. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Emunah is kiryas kadis chaber bo emes. That before Emunah, in some ways, emes comes before Emunah. Meaning that before a person can pick something to have faith in, that selection requires emes. Emes ve'emunah chayk v'le'avor. The emes is put first. That before, in other words, in order for your emunah to be classified as a concept of emunah, you're going to have to first understand what's truth. And once you know what's emes, then let's say a person finds a tzaddik emes. Let's say you've made a determination already that this person is honest, totally honest. If that's the case, it would seem logical to say that he couldn't do anything that would look dishonest. Or he couldn't do anything that would look bad or rotten. And we know that the Sforim tell us that this is the test that each and every person goes through in coming close to Hashem, in coming close to Tzadikim, that there are many, many times that it looks to the person that Hashem is doing very rotten things, chas v'shalom. Or there are many times that it appears to a person that a Tzadik, one to whom he attributed this term Tzadik, is doing something bad, is doing sheker, chas v'shalom. And that's where the emunah comes in. That's where emes alone is not enough, because emes alone, a person's eyes can play tricks on them. So there are times when a person is tested, and at that time he has to be able to default, he has to be able to shift gears and say, for this period of time, I'm going to rely on my emunah alone. I'm going to let it carry me. I'm going to assume that my eyes are wrong. Now, if a person sees that this is happening, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, then the person knows that possibly his definition of emes was incorrect. He had defined this person as emes, and he finds he made a mistake. If not, it's possible that his definition of emes was correct. This is emes, but emes alone is not going to be enough. The Torah forewarns that you're going to see, even with emes, it's going to require emunah at times. Hashem is emes. We say Hashem alekechem emes. And yet the Torah says there's a requirement of having faith in Hashem. What kind of faith? If Hashem is emes, what should I have to have faith in? I would see that everything Hashem is doing is honest, it's real, it's correct, it's accurate. And yet we see there are thousands of things that each and every person as an individual and the world as a whole sees that Hashem does, that it looks to us, it appears, chas v'shalom, as if it's incorrect. It's not. It's sheker. Sheker, that Hashem should give some dark guy $40 million, $2 million in the lottery, and there are tzaddikim amitim sitting in Mea Shorim, in Yerushalayim, in New York, different, who are sitting and studying Torah day and night, or doing Milas Chesed day and night, and they're penniless. It looks like sheker. It looks as if Hashem's books, his accounting system is upside down, chas v'shalom. And this is where the emunah comes in, that, you know, the Torah teaches us exactly what our attitude is supposed to be, etc., etc. But before, this is something that I heard Rebbe Zal mention once in a shiur, that's why I'm stressing it, this emes ve'emunah chalik v'layavor, that in order to define something as emunah, you have to first have an emes. In other words, you have to first come up with a definition of emes, and you have to be able to, in other words, what you're going to define as emes, and what you're going to evaluate as being emes, and then you have to know that just once you get that, just judging with your eyes alone, with your intellect alone, is not going to be enough. There's going to be a need for emunah at times. That's where these two go together.
So you're saying in this context, emes is seichel?
Comes for emes.
Seichel as opposed to emunah?
Yes, 100%. Emes v'emunah is zohar and ekeva. It's Torah and tefillah. It's chachma and malchus. All you'll find throughout the Likutei Halachos, these terms are used interchangeably. Emes is called in the Sifrei Kabbalah the klolius of all the meichin. The nickname that's given to all the meichin together is emes.
Is that the difference between emes and emes l'amita?
I don't know. I don't know.
If in dealing with emes, it would seem that in every case except with Hashem, it requires a constant reevaluation, because if someone is truly honest, then he has a conception of what honesty is, and the very conception of honesty becomes improved or enhanced as time goes on. Thus, as he's viewing other people who he set up as a previous standard of MS, they're also going through a reevaluation process, and in the process of being reevaluated, some of them might come into a conflict with what would otherwise be a function of emunah. So how do you deal with it?
This is the difficulty in this world. In other words, there's no question at all that all the pieces are moving at the same time. It's like shooting at a moving target. You're not given the option of where all targets are stationary and you have a chance to analyze your target and watch it carefully and study it. And when you're ready to make your move, you pull your trigger and the bullet goes and the target is standing still and it hits. It's not like that at all. The whole world is moving every second. And every single person in the world is moving every second, up and down, oilim v'yardim, constantly. And like you said, it requires a reevaluation every minute, every day. A person has to reevaluate themselves and everything around them. There could be a person whom at one time you evaluate this person as a tzaddik, and chas v'shalom, the person falls and becomes a rasha and apikleris. We have stories in the Gemara, where people, the Gemara tells stories of people who rose to a level of atana, and then he became an apikleris. Now, would you say that somebody who at one point in time was willing to take every single word this person said at face value would be able to do it after this person crossed the line and went that way? The answer is definitely not. The Gemara says that nobody, at that point in time, everybody else was told stay away from him like poison. There was one person, Rabbi Meir, who was so great at tzaddik that he was the only one who was permitted to continue learning from this person because he was able to sort out the good from the bad. Whereas for normal people, no way in the world they would be permitted to go near this person who at one point in time was one of the leaders of Klal Yisrael. And we have many, many cases like that. So it's definitely something that a person has to look at every day, brand new. New evaluation, and be prepared for change, be prepared to shift gears at any moment, period. We once mentioned the halacha nikudei halachas, where Rav Nosson Zal talks about the law in Shulchan Aruch, about a person who gets lost, and he doesn't know which day is the Shabbos, so he picks any day, and he keeps that one as complete Shabbos, you know, that whole halacha. The underlying assumption there also was the fact that a person at one point in time makes a commitment to a certain tzaddik, because at that point in time it appears to him that this is the closest thing to the perfect emes. He goes with it for a while, and if he sees that his assumption was correct, that becomes a final conclusion until subject to change, until chas v'shalom anything happens to alter it. If at some point in time he comes to the realization that this is not the purest, highest degree of MS, he's required to put that aside and go looking for more. As we find with Rav Nosson Zal's life itself, we have in the story of Rav Nosson Zal's life, we find clearly that he went from one person to the next, looking until he would find the purest form of emes that he believed existed in the world at that time. In terms of looking and evaluating different tzaddikim, etc. That's definitely the case, that this is something that requires new evaluation every day, and a person has to be prepared to see pieces pulled out from under him. We have cases, for example, the person who brought Rav Nosson Zal to Rabbeinu Zal, the individual who was responsible for bringing Rav Nosson Zal, Rav Naftali Zal, and one other superstar of Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim, like the three greatest Talmidim, this person stayed a little bit afterwards, and then he fell away from Rabbeinu Zal. Now, there's no question at all that at this point in time, when he was Mekar of them to Rabbeinu Zal, they felt the greatest respect and love and everything towards him. Until they saw that Rachmana Litzlan, for whatever reason, Hashem decided that this person was not Seicha to make it to the end. And this person fell away, and at that point a reevaluation had to take place. And now they know that this person is not what he once was. At one point in time, he represented a stepping stone to Rabbeinu Zal, and you know, etc. And then afterwards, changed. I don't know. It just mentions the fact that he fell away.
Do you lose that stature, or is it an easier task to get back to your original place?
It depends. Sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's harder.
But do you lose it?
Do you lose what?
In other words, in the heavenly books.
Right. If a person falls away,
you lost your whole stature?
The answer is that's a very difficult question. You know, I think it depends on the circumstances and what and when and how. There are certain cases where it appears, chas v'shalom, that it's possible for a person to leave, where it shows that when he was there originally, in other words, like we say, the ends shows the means. You know, a lot of times there's this expression that, like, let's say you put a piece of tape on the wall to hang up something. And for a day or two, the thing is sticking beautifully. And after 3 days, the thing falls off. What does that show you? It shows you that this piece of tape, when you first put it on, it looked as if it was solid, and it wasn't. It was a fake out. It was a mirage. It looked as if this was, they said on the box that this will last 100 years, you know. And it was baloney. Great. It was able to fake it out for 2-3 days, but then afterwards it didn't make it through. That's the case sometimes, where we say that sometimes a person whom you see him suddenly get fired up in religion, person gets activated and runs and runs and runs, and then after a short period of time, you see the person just, you know, burns out. Many, many cases, it shows that the original fire was not, it wasn't MS, it wasn't honesty. It was something, it was an inspiration that came, that lasted, it was a whim, that type of thing. Whereas if a person has this mida of MS, like we just said, this will serve as a bridge to carry him through those times when things get super turbulent and super difficult, where another person would snap, would break, would give it up, and this person won't. This will be a bridge that will get him across wherever he has to get across.
I was reading that each neshama has its shoresh in a tzaddik. Certain tzaddik, there's a tzaddik who has 100, there's 1,000, and you have the leader of 10,000, etc.
Definitely.
This rabbi who fell away, is it possible that his shoresh was somewhere else? Or how does it work?
Rabbeinu Zal said that there's no question at all that there is, in every generation, there is a tzaddik, one tzaddik, who is the one from whom all other tzaddikim draw from him. so that even those people who are under the authority of a different tzaddik than this one in every generation, there's no question at all that they're getting something from the tzaddik that they're attached to, but in a hidden way, the real fact is that under the table, they're getting something also from the Sheirish Neshama Sisra, the tzaddik, the leading tzaddik in every generation. So that if a person is zeicher to become attached to the leading tzaddik, the tzaddik emes, that's considered the peak, that's considered the best. If a person falls away from that and becomes attached to something that's less than that, could be it shows that he wasn't worthy of being part of that. You know, he has to settle for whatever he can, you know, that kind of thing. But there's no question at all that it is considered a fall. Once a person gets a shot, a crack at becoming attached to the biggest tzaddik, and he doesn't make it, there's no question at all that that constitutes a certain degree of a fall.
So why don't the tzaddikim that are below him come to the higher one?
The answer is that's the test. That's a very, very big test in every generation. We just read about it in this past week's parsha, about the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik, whom the Torah testifies that if they would have put themselves under his leadership, under his authority, the Jews wouldn't have had to go down to Egypt and all the different things that took place. It was all because the biggest, biggest test. Rabbi Nizal once commented, and he said that after a person has gone through all the different tests in religion that exist, they give him me as a test, as the final test. That was Rabbi Nizal's statement, that I'm the final test.
Where did you say that?
Huh?
Where is it?
In Chaim Aran, I think, in one of the Sfarim. And that's a very important point.
What does that really mean?
Excuse me?
What does that really mean?
Meaning that the final test is to see if a person could become attached to the tzaddik emet, to the biggest tzaddik. A person could humble himself and be zocher to attach himself to the biggest tzaddik.
Didn't Rizal once say that sometimes a person who falls comes back to the yul in order to do the tshuva?
Possibly.
Yeah,
possibly. Right. Okay. This is one item from Likutei Halachos on this chapter. Now we're going to do another piece that's a neighboring piece. This was paragraph Mem Aleph, paragraph 41. In paragraph 43 of this same Halacha on Likutei Halachos that we quoted, in the middle of the paragraph, in our sets of Likutei Halachos, it's Daf Pei, Omer Aleph, the left-hand column, about a third way down the page. Rav Nosson Zal says, now he's discussing the point that Rabbi Nizal made in this chapter on Likutei Moran, where Rabbi Nizal used the word action, that a person has to be very, very stubborn when it comes to serving Hashem. Rabbi Nizal used that term, tzorech lihiyos action godol ba'avodas Hashem. Rav Nosson Zal writes, va'ayin mashepirish Rashi shom al posuk zeh. Take a look at what Rashi writes on this pasuk, the pasuk Naftule Elokim Niftalti. At the time that Naftali, who was one of the children of Yaakov Avinu, when he was born, Rachel said, Naftule Elokim Niftalti, because Naftali was born through the fact that Rachel Imenu gave her maidservant Bilhah to Yaakov Avinu as a wife. And the Torah says that as soon as she became pregnant and gave birth, Vatoimer Rachel said, Naftule Elokim Niftalti. We're going to explain what that means in a minute. She said, Im Achaisi Gam Yacholti. With my sister, I was able to lock horns. I was able to go step for step with my sister. Vatikra Shemai Naftali. And she called this child Naftali. Now the Targum on this pasuk says, the Targum Unkelus says, Va'ameres Rochil, Rochel said, on the words Naftule Elokim Niftalti, the Targum says, Kabil Hashem Bo'usi, Hashem accepted my prayer, my tefillah, Be'ischananusi Bitzleisi, when I poured out my heart in my prayer to Hashem. Chamedas diheli, chamedas bischanunusi bitzleisi chamedas. Hashem showed a liking and a desire for my tefillah when I presented to him. This is Targum Unkelus's Taich. Rav Nosson Zal says here, take a look at this Rashi, and then Rav Nosson Zal says, we're going to see on a little bit further, Rav Nosson Zal says, this Rashi, make sure you translate every single word to yourself. In Yiddish, he says, at that time, because that was the common language. For us, it would be in English, because every single word in the Rashi here is going to be critical to your existence in religion. The Rashi says here, on this Pasuk Naftulei Lekim Neftalti, Rashi Kodesh gives about three interpretations, three translations as to what this means. Menachim ben Sruk Pirshoi Bemachberes Tzamid Posil. One of the tzaddikim who lived during the time of Rashi HaKadosh, Erishain, his name was Rabbi Menachem ben Sruk, he explained the words Naftulei Elokim Neftalti. He said that it means that I became attached to my sister like a cover on a jar. Let's take a look at the Yiddish. We'll translate it in Yiddish and in English. Menachem ben Sruk zogt, Naftulei is der zilbiger Wort, is the Zelbiger Wort wie Tzamid Posel. That the word Naftule is like Tzamid Posel, which means a deck versus Bahef Tzuakeli, a cover that's screwed on or that's pressed down onto a jar. Hot Rochel gesagt, Rochel Imenu said, Chiburim me'eis hamokoim nischabarti imachoisi liskois lebonim. A baheftung von HaKadosh Baruch Hu bin ich baheft geworden mit mein Schwester, ich soll durch ihr solche sein zu Kinder. She was saying that Hashem attached me to my sister. The fact that we were two and we were so close together, that's what pushed me to insist to Hashem that Hashem give me children, because I felt like it was a competition in a sense. My sister had a child and she married the same husband and I would be without children. This is what pushed me to be able to go ahead and make sure to daven to Hashem to insist that Hashem give me a child. Zokt Rashi, and Rashi says, that's Rabbi Menachem ben Sruk's interpretation. Rashi says, Rashi HaKodesh says, Va'ani mefarshoi, I translate the word Naftali, Loshen Ikesh upesaltoil, that it means a stubbornness. Un ich teitsch das Wort Naftule, verkrimmt und verdreht. I'm sorry, Ikesh upesaltoil means crooked. Ikesh, an action means a person that's crooked, a stubborn in a crooked way. Fakrimt und fadreit nisakashti vehiftzarti ptsirois venaftulim harbe lamokoim tliyois shovela achoisi. Rochel hat gesagt, ich bin verkrimmt geworden und ich hab mich gestärkt mit Starkheit und mit viel Verdrehung for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bis ich bin gleich geworden zu meiner Schwester. I twisted myself. I made myself crazy. I made myself twisted and contorted until I was able to match my sister. Until I was able to have a child like my sister was having children. This is the word that she uses, fakrumt in fadreit, that I made myself crazy. I went at this with a madness, an insistence that was not normal. That kind of thing. Und ich hab gekannt, and I succeeded. Gam yocholti, it says gam yocholti, und ich hab gekannt, I succeeded. Hiskim al yodi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hot eingewilling zu meine tfilois. Hashem accepted my tfilois, in other words, and Hashem was satisfied with this and accepted this. Vo unkelis tergame, and unkelis teiches, loshen tfila. Der targum teich, naftulei meint men tfila, kamoi vies volt gestanen, naftulei elikim niftalti, ich hab gebeten zu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, und mein tfila is ongenommen geworden. I begged Hashem, and my tfila was accepted. Kamo bakoshois hachavivois lefonov. Ich hab gebeten zu HaKadosh Baruch Hu viel tfilois, wo zenen geliebte tfilois HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I poured out to Hashem many, many prayers that were designed very, very well, that were made very, very well, so that Hashem enjoyed them. Niskabalti v'ne'etarti ka'achoisi. Und ich bin angenommen geworden, und übergebeten geworden, ich soll sein wie mein Schwester. And Hashem accepted my tfilah and allowed me to become again on equal status with my sister. Niskabla tfilasi, mein tfila is ongenommen geworden. Period. This is pretty much this Rashi. We're going to see in a minute how much stress Rav Nosson Zal is going to put on this Rashi. Rav Nosson Zal writes, "Va'ayin ma'shapirish Rashi shom al zeh pasuk." Take a look at what Rashi says in this pasuk. Shehu loshen ikesh upsaltoil. This means a concept of crooked, twisting oneself totally out of shape, like going way above and beyond the call of duty. This concept. Ptzarti ptzirois v'naftulim harbe lamokim lias shovem achosi. That I gave forth many, many tefillos and beggings to Hashem to be zeicher, to become like my sister, to have children like my sister. Gam yocholti shehiskim al yodi. And when it says in the pasuk gam yocholti, it means that Hashem accepted it. You know, Hashem accepted all my effort. Rav Nosson Zal says, in this manner, each and every Jew has to go a lot of rounds at his spiritus, ma'oid, ma'oid, very, very much, his whole life. Shezeh ho'ikr. This is the main thing. V'tzorech lihiyos action godel bozeh ma'oid ma'oid. And a person has to be extremely, extremely stubborn when it comes to this. Extremely tough. She'af al pishenit maloy she'dvorov einam ha'ilim klal. Although it appears to the person as if his words are getting him nowhere, it's accomplishing nothing. V'hu rochoik midvorov ma'oid. And the person looks at himself and looks at what he's saying and he sees that the two are a billion miles apart. Here he's asking Hashem, Hashem, please, I want to be religious, I want to be zeicher to learn a lot of Torah, and he knows it's baloney, because an hour ago, he had an hour of time that he could have used for Torah, and instead he started nashing, or he sat down and watched TV, or he did some other thing, so it's baloney. One minute you're saying, Hashem, please, I want to be good, I want to be very religious, I don't want to look at what I'm not supposed to, and the minute later, you... person is tested and zap, he goes ahead and does it again. It appears to the person as if days have gone by and years have gone by and the person hasn't accomplished anything yet. Still, the person has to be very, very stubborn and persistent in this. Like a stubborn child, like a stubborn person, who does something without any reason whatsoever, without any reason, without any motivation. This term is stubborn. I'm not going to do this, and you can show me a billion reasons. I'm not going to do it, period. This is stubbornness, which is without any reasoning, without any rationale. Kein tzrichin b'avodas Hashem. This is something that's necessary when it comes to serving Hashem. Kemo yishekosov Rabbeinu Zal, as Rabbeinu Zal brings in this chapter in the Kutimran that we just learned, shetzrichin lihiyos action godol b'avodas Hashem. That a person has to be very, very stubborn and tough when it comes to serving Hashem. Ube'emes, and in honestly, Rav Nosson Zal says, tzrichin akshonus godol ma'oid b'chol avodas Hashem. A person has to be very stubborn when it comes to any aspect of serving Hashem, whether it be putting on tefillin or tzedakah, charity, any mitzvah. B'chol uvdo v'uvdo b'chol etza v'etza. When it comes to any item related to serving Hashem. Avol ikur ho'akshonus b'yoyser tzrichin b'tfila v'tachmunim. But the main, most important place where you're going to see that it's most necessary to have this akshonus, this stubbornness, is when it comes to tefillah. V'ho'ikah b'sichos shel hespedidus. And the main, within tefillah, the main part of tefillah where you're going to need it is when it comes to hespedidus. Kimavur bidvoreinu kam apomim, as is explained in our sforim many, many times. U'kamay shepirish Rashi anal al naftulei l'kim neftalti loshin ike shupsaltoel. And as Rashi HaKodesh explained on that posik naftulei l'kim neftalti, a concept of I fakrumt myself, I made myself crazy in trying so hard to keep persisting until I succeeded. Nisakashti v'hivtzarti p'tzirois v'naftulim harbe lamokaim. And Rav Nosson Zal says, v'hovein hadvorim heitev im tirtze lichyois chaye oilam. And understand what we're saying here very, very well if you want to be zeichet to make it into Olam Haba, if you want to be zeichet to get to live in the real world, ki efsher levayer hakol bichsav, because it's impossible to explain everything in writing, to put into writing everything that needs to be said for every individual person as to how this situation is going to come up related to them. Utefarish lecho belaz perish hamilos shel naftul elokim niftalti al pi pirish rashyanal. Rav Nosson Zal says, translate for yourself in your own language every single word in that Rashi. Loshen ikesh upsalta, that it means stubborn, crooked, twisted, contorted, in super, super effort, in not letting go, in wanting to get what you want. Va'oz tovin, and then you'll understand, ad heichon tzrichin lehischayim, behispoidedus, v'sichayis beinoy levein koinoy. How much a person has to strengthen themselves, and strengthen themselves, re-strengthen themselves, when it comes to this item of hispoidedus, speaking to Hashem. Even if the person has to do it like a stubborn schlup, like a mule, a guy who's not, guy who doesn't know when to let up, when to, enough, you did, you know, you're making me crazy, stop saying it a billion times, Hashem, I want to come close to you, Hashem, I want to come, the concept that Rav Nosson Zal was once told, they were praising to him, a person, and they said that this person knows 1,000 pages of Gemara by heart. Rav Nosson Zal said, I have a Talmud. Which Talmud was it? Reb Ezer Zal. Ezer can zogen toizend mol ribayne shel oylam. My student Reb Ezer Zal can sit in a room and say 1,000 times, ribayne shel oylam, ribayne shel oylam, ribayne shel oylam, begging Hashem. And Rav Nosson Zal's Talmidim write that they observed that this wasn't just a silly statement that Rav Nosson Zal made, because of the fact that this item, if a person tries to say these words, Ribbono Shel Olam, at a normal pace, 1,000 times, you'll find that it takes exactly 60 minutes, 1 hour to do it in. Rav Nosson Zal was applying that this Rav Nosson Zal had an akshonus. You picture how stubborn a person has to be to memorize 1,000 pages of Gemara. What kind of stubbornness it takes to keep reviewing it, reading it over and over, saying the words over and over until you memorize one line. Then you go to the next line. Then you review both lines together. A Balkare knows he's done this, trying to memorize the musical notes of 120 sentences in the Chumash. You know what it is to go over it again, and it takes akshama, stubborn, sit there for 3-4 hours a week to do it, till you get it. Rav Nosson Zal said, I have a student who's so stubborn, he could sit for an hour straight, and even if he doesn't have what to say to Hashem, he feels he's got nothing to say, he would be willing to just keep repeating 1,000 times over and over, Ribbono Shel Olam, just say Hashem, 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 yearning, begging Hashem that Hashem should give him words, or should give him what to say, or should help him with whatever he needs help. To do this even many, many times without any taste or smell. In other words, there's zero, a person feels like he's chewing aluminum. You know how good that tastes and how much that grates on you? That's the kind of flavor he's getting in his tefillah, to keep doing it and doing it. Ki loy bozo veloy shikatz emos oni, because the pasuk says in Tehillim that Hashem has never turned away or despised the cry of a poor man, and the Gemara darshins, afal pi sheroi levazoison uleshaktson. The fact that it says Hashem has never despised the tefillah of a poor man, it implies that there would be some reason to despise him, and yet Hashem doesn't. It's implying that there would be some logic as to why Hashem should spit on this guy, and he's not doing it. And this is what the Torah is saying, that even if you look at yourself as being a person whom Hashem should read, like this is his picture, if I would say to you 1,000 times, Shmuel, 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 person would want to punch the guy out, he'd want to kill him. Even if it sounds stupid or dumb to keep doing it, because the Torah says that even if what you're doing is something that Hashem would reject, you would think that Hashem would despise this, Hashem never despises the enos of an ani, the cry of a poor man. Ki hu yisporach molei rachmim b'chol eis. because Hashem is filled with kindness at all times. And this is the place in Likutei Halachos. The next thing in Likutei Halachos that Rav Nosson Zal does is he quotes the Zohar HaKadosh, which we learned this summer in the country, those that were there, the piece in the Zohar HaKadosh, where the Zohar HaKadosh discusses the three different types of tefillah that I mentioned in Tehillim, tefillah l'Moshe, tefillah l'David, tefillah l'Oni, and the Zohar HaKadosh shows that the most precious tefillah by Hashem is the tefillah of a poor man. And Rav Nosson Zal says, imagine, if that's how Hashem feels about a person who's financially poor, imagine how much more so a person who looks at themselves with an honesty and comes to a conclusion that they're spiritually very poor, that they're very poor in mitzvahs, mice and tevim, and a person says to Hashem, you want to talk about a pauper, I'm a real pauper, not a pauper in dollars and cents, a pauper in the most meaningful type of wealth in this world, and such a person comes and presents his case before Hashem, there's nothing in the world that Hashem likes more. So that therefore, again, in this point, Rabbeinu Zal made a statement in this chapter in the Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal said, Tzorech lihiyos action godol ba'avodas Hashem, that a person has to be extremely stubborn and tough when it comes to serving Hashem. Rav Nosson Zal says that this relates to all mitzvahs, but most specifically to tefillah. And within tefillah, his spiritus, that you should know that at times in every single Jew's life, the biggest tzaddik, the biggest rasha, is going to go through times where davening to Hashem tastes like chewing on sand, like eating tofu. You ever try eating tofu without any spices or anything? From what I've heard from people, it's like chewing nothing. And a person feels, a person eats something like that, it disgusts the person. And yet, Rav Nosson Zal begs you, don't make that mistake, don't stop then, because sometimes, if you persist at that time, when it's most difficult, if you hang in and keep doing it, you can get a Yeshua at that point in time that can make up for all the effort you've been putting in for years and years, and you didn't see results. In one shot, all the pieces of the puzzle could come together, and you could get such a Yeshua that you never imagined in a billion years that Hashem would take you so high up. Halavai, we should be zeicher to get to understand clearly through Rav Nosson Zal's eyes everything that Rabbeinu Zal is presenting in the Likutei Moran, and we should be zeicher to carry it out, lamaisa. We should be zeicher to apply this every single day, every single minute of our lives, these etzos about akshonos, about gesher tzar, about emes, to be able to apply these and to be matzliach in what Hashem, what Rabbeinu Zal called hatzlacha. That's Hashem. Exactly, because you see the point that Rav Nosson Zal is making here, that stubbornness normally is a very bad thing, it's a very bad trait, and sometimes there is a time when we say the answer to the person is wait. Well, sometimes you have to wait, you just have to be quiet. Rav Nosson Zal, in another place in the Likutei Halachos, discusses the concept of chashmal. The light of Chashmal. What is Chashmal? The Gemara says in Chagiga, this refers to a certain unit of angels who are itim chashais, itim amalalais. There are times when they're quiet, there are times when they're quiet, and there are times when they're speaking. And Rav Nosson Zal says this pertains to different periods in a person's life. What happens after a person finishes the hour of his spiritus and still nothing? Then it's a time to just be doim l'Hashem, to be silent for Hashem, to be able to wait, to be quiet. Not to persist until chas v'shalom the person ODs on his way to the scene of chas v'shalom, the person kills himself, that's no good. We're talking about being able to know even in that there's a definition to this word akshonis. There is a boundary and it requires some qualification. Even after you've davened many, many times, asking Hashem, I want to be good, please help me be good, and it feels as if you're going nowhere, you're on a treadmill, to ignore it and keep trying, because safe kol safe, you're going to succeed. This is foolproof. This is the foolproof method of being a success in Yiddishkeit.